from talk to rock and everything in between. The best variety is right here on the OmniSound Radio 1 Network.
Diana Avena from Roswell Ghost Tour in Roswell, Georgia. You can check it out at roswellghosttour.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts Doug and Scott L.
William Constantine is a world-renowned psychic medium who has been lecturing, demonstrating, and reading for private clients for over 10 years. He is committed to the lifelong development of his ability and brings real integrity to his profession. Constantine states, it's about respect of the client, the process, the grief, the pain, the healing, and the validations. I am only part of the healing process and am honored to be a part of such a personal journey. Ghostly Talk is welcoming to the show William Constantine of www.williamconstantine.com. After a snafu earlier,
yeah.
We finally get to speak with you, William.
Thanks for coming on the show,
welcome
William.
Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
We really appreciate you coming on. Yeah, we had a little snafu a while back. We got it worked out, though. We're glad to have you back on. You've been working on this for a long time. I noticed one thing. You're a very young guy, too. And you've been working on this for it says here, what Doug just mentioned,
over 10 years.
More 10 years on this. So when did you actually get started doing this, if I may ask?
Well, honestly, I had been doing readings for a while. The actual first reading that, one of the first readings that I ever did, like to somebody who wasn't like in my circle, so to speak, was online over an instant messaging system.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I liked about that is no skeptic can poke holes in the fact, save for the fact that they might say that I knew them or I had prior knowledge. But aside from that, like if they were honestly there, they saw me pull somebody out of like a Yahoo chat room, or at one time I pulled somebody out of James Van Praagh's chat room. That was before I knew that it was kind of taboo to read for people in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started going from there. And then, as I progressed, I built up a reputation. They were referring people to me, and it just went on from there. And I've been doing it ever since I was really little. Like I was always doing like a lot more intuitive readings. I didn't always bring through, people's the other side for
mm-hmm.
people. Like I always saw the other side,
mm-hmm.
and I was always aware of them myself, but I didn't always come out and say anything. And the last time I did, I was on a trip. I was taking a bus from Virginia Beach to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I there was this Puerto Rican young lady, and around her was like a spirit child. So I asked her point blank if she ever had an abortion, because she made the mistake, if you will, to sit down next to me. So with the child right there at my heels, I needed to kind of get this out of there before. And then the reading kind of ensued from there.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, I thought I was going to get smacked at first, the first time when I said it, just how she looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that it was more like a shock value than she was like offended. It was more like, how did you know? And then we kind of went from there. But
okay.
And then that was the last time I ever did just pulling somebody out of like a public area and doing a reading.
Okay. Well, obviously, too, I mean, saying something like that to someone, I mean, it makes sense for you to think like, well, God, and then you were very young when you did this, you said, right, William?
Right.
I mean, that makes sense. I know I would have a very hard time saying to someone like, did you have an abortion?
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be very tough to say to someone.
That doesn't seem equivalent to, like, street magic, where you can walk up and say, I'm going to guess what card you pull out of here.
Yeah.
Right. That's more like extremely personal, boom, all of a sudden,
mm.
and kind of unexpected, probably, by the lady.
Well, yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I can see where that doesn't quite equate.
Yeah.
Right.
It scares
right.
people.
And then, obviously, like, throughout school, I was doing, like, a lot of intuitive stuff for, like, it was mainly the ladies would come to me with their relationship issues and want me to help them, and find out whether or not they were in the right relationship. And, of course, that in school nothing is really ever going to last, forever.
Yeah.
But, I'd kind of guide them in the right direction. But, and sometimes it was, like where I was getting people out of an abusive relationship, so that was kind of and it's really about helping the people, not so much about me and my gifts. For me, it's about helping people either bridge the gap between this world and the other side, which
mm.
is really right beside us. It's not like up anywhere or down anywhere. It's really like right around us. It's actually pretty amazing. But the main thing is that when I do a reading, I make it all about the person that I'm doing the reading for. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if I was going to read for like Scott or you or, you know, Bonnie, then mm-hmm. it would be mainly about you guys and not about me and my ability, even though I'd be using my ability. But it would be almost as if, like, I was just having a conversation, and if things got too deep,
mm-hmm.
Then I'd ask if you wanted me to pursue that issue, like, further. Like, if I brought up an abortion or if a molestation, which is a popular topic in readings, comes up,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, that's a subject that I kind of tend to stray away from.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it is so personal, and sometimes people, especially if it's the first time that they've ever come to me, and, you know, I don't necessarily want to be poking around in their life.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is one of the difficult things, where you kind of have to censor some of the information yourself that's coming through, especially, like, if I would to do, like, call-ins on radio. Like, that's, like, a molestation isn't something that I'm necessarily going to want to broadcast out into, you know, the air.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's a very touchy subject. We all know. And it's just, and for a person, if this is something that's going on in their life, I'm sure they may be uncomfortable talking about it, too. That's a really scary subject for some people. The thing that I wonder about, though, William, is that we come on this, you know, a possible, you know, abortion for someone or a molestation. Do these energies or these ideas, are they, as far as the magnitude goes, for something like that, I mean, obviously, someone who went through such a horrific experience of either one of those things, right, it's obviously going to be something very hot. And the way I look at it is it's a very hot thing. It's something that, is the energy that, in that idea, in that whole event, so to say, is that like more of like, I'm trying to phrase this correctly. Doug, help me out if you can help me. I don't even know if you know where I'm going with this. But is it something that you can pick up on a lot easier than other things? Is these negative experiences? You follow what I'm saying, William?
Well, I mean, it's mainly whatever spirit gives me is what I relate to the person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would assume that negative things kind of come, that they might come up easier, especially if it may be recent or if it's something that they really haven't dealt with,
yeah,
or something like that. I might pick up intuitively from them just and draw on that information, but mainly it comes from spirit. So if it comes from spirit, I deliver the message.
Okay.
But as far as it being like, you know, a hot topic and easy to pick up, I mean, a lot of the times I have no problem picking up if a person was molested, mm-hmm. or anything like that. A lot of the times also I'm getting images and pictures and if not straight dialogue. So sometimes it's almost like a video in my mind of the actual event. So that is obviously hardened proof that, mm-hmm. that's what that was. You know, for me, I was sodomized for 2.5 years when I was in foster care. So, like, a molestation, that's one of the things that it's maybe the only thing in a reading that I tend to run in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You know, because then I kind of have to relive my thing in the process of telling them about, you know, what went on with their life. But some people make me go through it anyway, so...
Mm.
You know, and I'm willing to do that just to help them. And being that I've already done it and I've healed from it, then it's easier to, which I honestly give the spirit world all the credit for me healing from such a dramatic event.
Well, that's it sounds like that's what maybe the key here, too, is that no matter what it may be, I mean, it may even be a positive thing. It may be what's most significant to the person you're talking to at the time. What the real hot? I mean, I'm using this as a term. It seems like something I can wrap my little brain around. It's these hot topics that come up automatically when you talk to someone, right? It may just depend on the person, not just the event itself. It just may be what the person is thinking or what spirit's telling you. Also, that may be the opposite. That may be what I'm getting at. I don't know. I'm trying to phrase this correctly. It just seems like every person now, after hearing that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's naturally, if you go from okay, there's these traumatic things and they can get picked up on. There's also like the happy things. There would be things like weddings and children and graduations accomplishments. Maybe somebody had published a book or gotten an award.
Usually, how it goes is usually the first thing that comes out normally. During a reading is the cause of death. You know, the way that the person died, via a heart attack, via whatever. Usually, most mediums will get subjected to that initial thing right away, is because that's maybe the last thing that they remember, you know, and obviously to start bringing them. Because I think that when you start saying the cause of death, then people are able to correlate that to somebody that they know, and then you work back from there.
Okay.
Even though that they don't come to me, obviously, you know, if they died in a car crash, they don't come to me like in pieces or, you know, severed or whatever the ailment is, but they may inflict almost that pain on me so that I'm able to see it, number one, and to feel it, and to be able to relay the message to them. And then, obviously, then you go into the, you know, the reading from there. And sometimes they don't necessarily, usually what they'll do, because spirit is pretty good at knowing what the person that could handle. So if they're the type of person, there may have been a molestation, but if they're not the type of person who would want to deal with it or want to handle it, then a lot of times spirit may not bring it up. They may make me aware of it. But aside from that, like, I mean, because I walk through the mall, and it's like I get glimpses of people's lives and just things like that. So then you get to the point where, you know, it's so overwhelming and you get to, like, information overload a lot of the times. But because it's hard for me because I have three kids and, you know, a fiance who need my attention. And a lot of times anywhere we go and we're out in the public and I'm trying to be, like, dad and not medium, you know, it gets very difficult because you do start getting picked up on, you know, a lot of people's lives and, you know, the information. Or you might see, you know, Auntie M who wants to communicate with, you know, Dorothy or whatever the case is. You know, and then and sometimes they're not so understanding as far as, you know, when you say you're not working right now, like it's like my time. So sometimes some spirits are very adamant about getting that out there, you know, and relaying the message.
Well, but, William, if I may ask, though, I mean, you, and I've heard this from other people too. People that have these abilities, they go into a public place like that, and they're overrun with all these different emotions and feelings and stuff. Is there, I mean, is there, to put it simply, is there a shutoff valve or something
like
that you can do,
button,
something you can do to block people, to block these people out so you can live your life? I mean, is there anything you can do?
I mean, yeah, I mean, honestly, there is. I mean, a lot of mediums train themselves. Like, take John Holland, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to, and so does James Van Praagh. A lot of mediums know how to turn it off. Or at least shut it down to where it lessens. My personal thing, even though I kind of complain a lot of the times when it does interfere with me just being dad, is that I was given a gift, you know, and it's not my place to shut it off, you know, because I don't want to deal with it at that given point in time, you know, like, I wasn't the one who decided that I needed the gift or that I wanted the gift or, you know, that I wanted these abilities. You know, a higher power did. So I'm a lesser being than the person who gave me these abilities. So in that case, I can't overrule, you know, somebody else's judgment just because it doesn't suit me, that particular situation or that given day or that, you know, hour or whatever, that I'm out there with my family. So it, to me, it makes no sense shutting it down. So that's not even an option for me. But it has become normal to where I can kind of carry on a conversation with the living, which I do very rarely. and also the other side, which I do often.
Okay.
So, and that's just my approach. A lot of mediums do want to find a way to shut it off and, you know, and kind of be rid of it. But even in my psychic development workshops, when I'm talking about, you know, spirit communication, even to begin with the psychic development workshop, the first thing that I, you know, tell people, I'll give them just a basic experience of me in the mall and be like, you know, pretty much if anybody wants to leave now because that's not the way that they want to, you know, experience life, then, you know, you're free to go.
And yeah.
I've never really had somebody ever walk out, but I give them that option because I tell them in the beginning, look, I'm not going to train you to shut it off or to, you know, to turn it off and on like a light bulb because this isn't something that you turn on to make money and shut off when you want your private time. I mean, this is something that I live with on a constant basis. You know, it wakes me up in the middle of the night, you know, everywhere I go in the day, like I see spirit guides and, you know, I pick up intuitively a lot. So it's a constant thing. It's a constant influx of information. So for me, I just decide that I don't want to shut it down.
Okay.
Because it's not, it's basically, you know, it's not mine to shut down, you know?
Yeah. What do you do for a hobby? Because here's why I ask. Let me explain why I ask. Maybe that's a good idea. We, you know, we have our day jobs and things like that. And then as our hobbies, we go out and about and we do ghost hunting, which I'm sure you may have seen on TV or read about, where we go to supposedly haunted places with oftentimes we'll take a psychic or a medium or both. And sometimes we just take, you know, recorders and things like that and pick up voices of the dead or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we, and we also do this show, by the way, which you're familiar with because you're on it. So we have a hobby, and I like my hobby. I did the bowling thing, and I did the, you know, I just all these other hobbies. They were great at the time.
Don't forget knitting.
Don't forget what?
Don't forget knitting either.
Oh, and knitting
was,
yeah,
a good thing.
Knitting,
yeah.
I blocked at Pearl. I just couldn't get that reverse stitch. But you've got all these like opportunities for hobbies, right? And when I was in my daily grind, you know, I get up, go to work, come home, read a little bit, watch TV, go to bed, and then the next day is, you know, repeat. And I went through that for a while, and the internet opened my eyes and says, oh, there's people doing all this stuff that you've been thinking about, you know, since you were a kid. Go out and do it with them, you know. So that's what I've been doing. I've been running around investigating haunted places, and out of that came this show. And this is my new hobby base, and this has now been with me for over 5 years.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the show's been, it's going on 5 years old, but the ghost hunting and the paranormal realm as a hobby has been mine for over 5 years, and I absolutely love it. Have not seen a reason to give it up yet.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, what would you do for a hobby? Because what you can do naturally is something that I chose to use as I mean, I don't have the gifts that you're talking about, but I investigate and I read about and I talk to people who are then like you. So that's my hobby. What do you do for a hobby?
I mean, number one, I'm a dad, you know, so
well, that, family first.
When I'm not working and I'm not researching or writing my book or, you know, doing something like that, then I am with the kids and the family. So, I mean, that's probably the only thing that I really, but not that my family's a hobby, but that's the only thing that I really do outside of work, you know, because even, like, I love to write and I love to read, but that's really still work related. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're talking just something outside of work, then there really is nothing aside from my family. So.
Oh, that's interesting. So your life path took you into exactly what you want to do pretty much all the time. And by the way, you're right, family first. Family,
yeah,
is
family,
number,
yeah,
one in everybody's, and the kids and your fiancé, they're number one. They have to be.
Yeah.
And if you know, people, there are people who lose sight of that, and they put career first, or they put something else, and that's when their lives get messed up. No, family first, because you have to have that firm foundation, and you know, in order that other things can you know grow on top of that and make a full life.
Absolutely.
So that you know, I think you're right on with that. So you ended up in the paranormal as a vocation, and it happens to be what you would choose as a hobby as well. I mean,
I just love what I do. Like, that's, you know, it's just something that I love. It's, you know, a passion. So I wouldn't choose a different career. In fact, when I was trying to get, you know, real jobs, you know, it was very difficult because no matter where I went, I was always doing a reading, you know, no matter whether it was a permanent job or if I was doing a salesman's job and, you know, while they were waiting, because I used to work at a tire place. I used to sell tires. So, you know, while people were waiting for tires, I would be giving them readings. So, you know, it was a constant in my life. So that was just something that has always kind of happened. So, I mean, no matter what, I mean, this has always been something. And, I mean, I trained with my guides at, like, a young age, and I also think that, you know, growing up in foster care kind of also pushed me to build a relationship with my guides because I didn't have anybody else. You know, I didn't like sports, still don't. You know, I just, there's nothing really that people my age, you know, enjoy doing that I enjoy doing. You know, I was always the bookworm, the person going out into the woods and just kind of just being a loner, but also I was doing like a lot of intensive things with my guides, whereas a lot of mediums now, they'll go and they'll be trained by like schools. There's like schools for this stuff, but me, I was trained by spirit and angels and the ascended masters and everything like that. So like I think in that aspect, I kind of have one up on a lot of other mediums that are out there because I was trained by the thing.
Well, you were trained by the source.
Everybody's trying to connect with.
Yeah, you were trained by the source. It sounds like. I mean, it's coming from the source, and that's what I'm seeing.
And
I have like a lot of intimate information about the other side, and it's funny because like a lot of people, they you know, they believe everything that certain high-profiled mediums say, you know. And what I wish that high-profiled mediums would do is not leak, say, like, blanket statements, like everybody on the other side is 30, or things and I'm not going to name any names, but if you follow,
absolutely.
I already know who you're talking about.
We know who you're talking about, William.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are, you know, people like that say that. And, I mean, some of their followings are more cultish than it is anything else. So when I come out with fresh and new information about the other side, then everybody says, well, that's not what, you know, so-and-so says. And I'm like, well, you know, hello, like, I came from, you know, the other side pretty much, and I've stayed connected to the other side, and even like when, you know, events and stuff like 9/11 and stuff like that happens, that has a huge impact on mediums, you know, like when there's a mass loss of life, even the war that we're on, like there's countless times that I'll wake up and there'll be like a soldier in my room and then. You know, I have to kind of cross them over, and then kind of go back to sleep. But this is my life. I mean, this is just, you know, normal. It usually doesn't take like, you know, a week like it does in Ghost Whisperer to cross somebody over. But, you know, I also haven't had people that, you know, wanted to have like unfinished business and, you know, we're blowing up things. So, but I mean, the other side, just to clear up, you know, some misconceptions, is very much like this world, only without all the garbage.
Well, I know there's a lot.
And so, I mean, there's bars on the other side, so you can drink, you can have sex. I mean, it's the same as this world, only you don't have a lot of the negative factors. I mean, you don't have politics, you don't have like, you know, a government per se. You, you know, money doesn't really exist to the extent that it does, you know, here. I mean, yeah, I mean, you could go grocery shopping and things like that on the other side, but, like, you're not compelled, you know, by money. It's not, like, a driven thing that you need to do. People work on the other side,
mm-hmm.
so it's not like you cross over and you land on a white fluffy cloud and that's your destination for the rest of your life. So that is like one of the huge things that, you know, that's difficult for people to accept because, you know, for some people it kind of borders the line of like a religion issue, you know, about what they perceive the other side to be. You know, and in that case, a lot of times if you are like very devout in a particular religion, then the other side will take the form of whatever it is that you believe that you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as like a heaven and, you know, clouds and everybody walking around, I just think that would be kind of boring if there was nothing else out there but just a bunch of clouds and, you know, dead people walking around.
Yeah.
That just doesn't sound, you know, really exciting, and it kind of would get kind of crowded, as you would think.
Yeah.
No, I've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, talking to people about paranormal stuff. And this is the second time that I've heard that people have jobs or things that they want to accomplish over there. So I would like to talk more about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of other things.
Yes.
After the break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, William.
Okay, William.
Is that cool, William?
Okay.
We'll take a quick break here.
We're talking to William Constantine of www.williamconstantine.com. Of course, there's a link up at gothutalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
Hey, this is Brian Hunwell with the Atlantic Paranormal Society, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. So stay tuned and make sure you don't pull another one of those Dude Runner episodes like I did.
This is Francis Sampier, producer of the upcoming independent horror film, Moral Road. This is a horror film based on an actual Michigan legend about a ghost who's searching for her baby.
Hello, boys! Kissu!
Say Tom does great work. Tom is a good friend of the show, and he's been coming on our trips and stuff like that and hanging out with us. Tom's a member of the Great Lakes Paranormal Research Posse. But Tom's a great friend of the show, and I have to say you fixed me so well when we were in Gettysburg a few weeks ago.
He was broken.
I was literally smashed. I was like, if I was a vase, I'd be in a million pieces on the ground. Yep. The whole right side of my body was just locked up. I couldn't even move barely. And Tom was just working on me in front of all these wonderful people coming by our table, hanging out. And he straightened me out. So thanks again, Tom. I appreciate that. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we're on the phone with William Constantine of www.williamconstantine.com. And we were talking about life on the other side. Life on the other side. Interesting.
Yeah.
I've decided on the break. When we cross over, because everybody has so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, everybody has perished from this side into the next side. So what happens is you get to have a job, right? And
it's one of the things, yeah.
So I'm going to have a job that is related to life hunting.
That's
what I'm going to do. I think that would be my vocation on the other side. Because I enjoy, you know, ghost hunting on this side. You know, maybe it will relate. But I don't know. That did sort of floor everybody in the chat room, William.
Yeah, everybody's kind of like,
they go,
wow.
What? You mean we have to work afterwards? But we
yeah,
only
but
think
I mean,
of
it's,
it.
It's not as bad as it sounds, you know, but that is one of the things. I mean, the first thing that you do, obviously, is die. And then you go through and you watch your life in review. But here's the tricky thing, and it's kind of cool. Here's the learning process, is you watch what's called the life review, which is your life in review, and you experience everything negative that you did to other people.
Okay. Everything negative you've done to other people.
Right. Anytime that, like, if they, any pain or negative thought that you kind of put out there,
mm-hmm.
that you experience what it's like to be on the receiving end of that.
Okay.
And then you learn your lesson, and you move on, and you know, you go to the other side.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you on that, William. I'm just curious about this. Now, you said every thought you had, every ill thought. Now, I'll use this as a very quick example. We live in Michigan here, right? And we, you know, we're Motor City. We have more cars than anybody, it seems. And we're out driving every day, going to work, doing our things, running our errands. And if you've ever been to Michigan, William, you know the drivers here are absolutely ridiculous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So on a daily, if not hourly basis, when I'm in my automobile, I'm wishing pain, suffering, and death towards probably about 80% of the people on the road because they get me so angry. Now, what my question is with that is, you said the thoughts. I mean, are you going to have to go back and think and live through these thoughts, and those particular thoughts, you know what I'm saying, where you really didn't do anything to this person directly to cause them harm or any ill will, but you kind of did something like, oh, God, why that person cut me off? I'd like to whack him in the head with a Stilson wrench.
Yeah. I mean, your thoughts go to an extent, but it's more like the thoughts of, you know, like a direct thing where you're like, okay, take this. If somebody, all right, is, okay, take the molestation. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
The person would understand, okay, they'd almost take on the persona of, like if you were the molester,
yeah,
okay, in this case, and you would understand, okay, number one, like that it took a lot of plotting and scheming, you know, to get it to happen. Mm-hmm. But then you'd also feel and know what it was like to be on the receiving end of either the molestation or the rape or anything like that yeah. happened. So, mm-hmm. And that's just the way that you would learn and grow as a spirit and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing is like, it's important to realize that we're all beings of love and light, and we all are made in the Creator or God's image.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, we're all perfect. It's just the fact is when you throw in human thoughts and emotions and ego mm-hmm. and money, mm-hmm. and power,
yeah,
and everything, worldly possessions, all those things kind of counteract the spirit's true intention.
Mm-hmm.
So right now what I'm doing is I'm writing a book about how to reconnect to how to basically live in spirit,
mm-hmm.
And reconnect into that, which also will open up psychic abilities for people as they're going through this thing. But the first thing is they need to realize that everybody is already psychic. I mean, everybody has already had psychic vision, psychic intuition, premonition of some sort. I mean, everybody that I know that I've talked to has had an instance of a psychic event in their life.
Oh, yeah.
Of whether you were thinking about calling somebody and you go to pick up the phone and they're already on the other line, or you're thinking about them and the phone rings, or you see them in the store, or whatever the situation is, like everybody has had that. And the problem with society is they brush off that as like a coincidence, or, you know, they might think that it's a fluke and it's just some odd. But the other thing that people need to realize is that there's a new wave of children and a new generation of children being born. I mean, I'm part of the indigo vibration, so after me there's the crystal vibration,
mm-hmm.
Which are mainly the children now that are being labeled like autistic. Now, that's not saying that every autistic child is, you know, a crystal child, and they're seeing angels and things like that, but it is very possible, you know. And the problem is everybody, if you are different in any way, the medical community has no problem in diagnosing you with something strange.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for example, I'm thinking that a lot of people back in the olden days who might have been mediums were diagnosed as being schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as, you know, people that were hearing voices and things like that, because it wasn't understood. So I think if you vocalized it at that point, then, you know, the medical community would put a label on you and kind of ship you off,
mm-hmm.
Because you're not of the norm. But, you know, like in the crystal children, along with the indigo children, are here basically to help shift the universal consciousness, and more people you're going to find are going to be born with psychic abilities. Not to mention that the universal shift has already started, because more and more people are looking into tapping into their own psychic abilities. More and more people want to find their own abilities and fine-tune them, or try to open up to spirit communication and things along those lines. And that's why, you know, that the book market right now is so saturated with books by mediums. And I mean, I don't know, there's a ton of television programs about mediums and about the paranormal.
Oh yeah.
And psychics and things like that. So you know,
that's not a coincidence then. That's the beginning of a shift.
No.
No?
No, it's not a coincidence.
It's not a
coincidence. No, it's there are no coincidences.
Right.
Like, everything
okay.
happens for a reason. So
I agree.
And that's what people need to realize, is that the more you dismiss things as being a coincidence or just, you know, kind of a quirky thing that happened, it's going, like, the more you're kind of shutting off your own psychic ability, like, and you're not accepting the fact. Like, for me, if there's something that I'm really struggling with or whatever like that, for example, if I was out of a job or something like that, and I needed a job, then I turn it over to spirit and to a higher authority, basically, somebody that could help. And, I know a lot of Catholics practice this with turning things over to God or to Jesus and saying, look, like, it's out of my hands, like, you handle it now.
Right.
And, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, that works, you know. And, granted, it works if it's in the best interests of your life path, like what, you know, and that's the other thing. Before we came into this world, and I know everybody has heard this before, you're following basically a blueprint. Like, you picked out everything that was going to happen. It's just a matter of you need to find the way to get there, you know, and to ensure that everything, you know, does happen. The other important thing to say is that people who commit suicide and take their own life are not being selfish, and that they aren't condemned, you know, to hell or anything like that, and they actually receive help on the other side. And so I run a whole workshop just on suicide alone, to kind of get that message across, and to help personally the families that have been, you know, touched by a suicide, or friends, and, you know, things like that. Because suicide does have kind of a ripple effect. It's like a monsoon, especially if people are connected to the person and they're really attached. Then that's really when the suicide has, like, a huge effect throughout a ton of people.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, that's one thing. But even if not, it sends a ripple effect out into the universe. You know, so that's the one thing. But I have to say, I have met people whose lives were basically over at that time. Like, you know, there's failed attempts at suicide, and that means that it's not that person's time to go. So no matter how many times they sit there and pull the trigger, the gun's not going to go off. You know, and
yeah.
So I've talked to people who have been on the other side of that gun that wouldn't go off, and, you know, and I just said, you know, well, basically, it's just not your time, like, because if it was, you wouldn't be here. Like,
yeah.
I'd still be talking to you, but you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, you wouldn't be here physically. Yeah.
In the physical body, you know, so, you know, and that's the thing, like, illness and things like that, like, you, in order... The worst thing is when people start to get a sniffle, and then they say, oh, God, I'm getting sick. And then the next day, their throat's bothering them. And then, you know, the next day, they're, you know, hacking up a lung, and everything else is going on wrong. The same thing happens. Once you put that negative thought out into the universe, that's what you're going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you you know, wake up with a little bit of a sniffle, and you say, oh, geez, I'm getting sick, then, you know, as the day progresses, you're going to get that scratchiness in your throat, your nose is going to be running a little bit more, you know, and then before long, you know, you have a full-fledged cold. But if you wake up and you kind of ignore it and dismiss it, then, you know, nine times out of ten, you're not going to come down with anything, you know, major. And that's what people need to start realizing is whatever you put out there, whether it's via sickness or whatever, whatever you put out into the universe is going to, you know, come back to you. So if you start putting positive thoughts and things like that out into the universe, then that's going to, you know, come back to you. And then, I mean, you need to learn that there are other people that are other beings that can help you outside of your own little circle of living people. And so if your mom or dad has passed, like, you know, don't hesitate to call on them, even though you might not hear them specifically, but they, believe it or not, they'll give you some type of a sign and answer your question in some way. People just need to be aware of how to go about receiving those types of messages.
Well, interesting, because like what Paul Eno had mentioned to us. He says it because he investigates notorious haunting cases, you know, probably not to the level of like Amityville Horror, but you know, pesky hauntings and things like that, and he attributes them to, you know, like a space-time quantum mechanic interdimensional rift kind of thing going on. But whatever, one of the things that he says is, he says, call upon your ancestors. And he means ancestors like from, parents or grandparents if they're on the other side, to all the way back to people whose names you couldn't even trace if you tried, you know, here in this world.
Yeah.
But you call upon your very own ancestors for assistance with, I think it was Paul Eno who said that, for assistance, because they're there. And they will help.
Well, I love to use the example, and I've used it before. Well, you know this one, too, is from my mother, William. My mother has a porcelain doll in her bedroom. And whenever she has, this belonged to her mother, my grandmother, right? And whenever she has a serious decision to make, she'll sit in the room, in her bedroom, and think this thing over and kind of think about her mother, because my mother and my grandmother were very close. And she'll think of the alternatives, and when she thinks of the, you know, I got scenario A, I got scenario B, and when she thinks of the correct scenario, this doll has a little bell in it. This bell will ding, just a one little ding, just a very little ding, but she thinks honestly that this is her mother telling her that's the right decision to make, and that's calling on, like you just said, calling upon your ancestors in a way, Doug, looking to the past and things like that. My mother, like, there is a connection there. There's a serious connection there. I mean, I just spent a week in a place, you know, with my other grandparents, where my grandfather who's passed away. And I mean, I got to say, and that's something I didn't mention about this trip I took. When I walked in that house this time with my new knowledge of things, I haven't been to this home in a very long time. With my new knowledge of things, I walked in this house and literally, and it wasn't something overpowering where I fell over and had a revelation or anything like that, but I could feel my grandfather's presence in this house. Just by him being in this home for so long, I could feel him around me in a way. Not like I said, I'm not saying I fell over, you know, or anything like that, but he was there. I really felt like he was there. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I have called on this man for answers to things in the past, too. So that's something I do. That's something that I try to do in the past. I mean, and That's just an idea to throw out there. It's a good example, I think.
What about William? What about the future? Does the other world, other realm, afterlife have any concept of time?
Not necessarily. Not like us, you know. Like, I mean, they could tell me that you're going to pass soon, and soon could be 20 years from now. You know? So to them, it doesn't really, you know, they're not really bound by time, because time's a man-made concept. You know, it's not really something that, like, really exists. You know,
right.
It's just something that we tend to live by because we're crazy.
Well, it's all linear. So, that's all linear.
And we need a schedule. We need a regimen in the modern-day world.
But there is a time frame coming up that a lot of people are talking about. It's even been on TV in the past two or three weeks. The 2012
thing. Yeah.
And I've heard several different things. And One of the most common things is that marks the beginning of the actual enlightenment, not the beginning of the process, like what we were saying earlier. It seems to be happening with the the TV shows, the people really really looking into this stuff, the overwhelming number of books and things like that. This is the beginning of the process, but of the ramping up. But the process starts in 2012. It's also the end of the Mayan calendar. It's when the time travel experiments at Montauk couldn't see anything but a gray haze
That.
It was an unrealistic world.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that's coming up. Has there been any indications in your talk with the after, your different talks with the spirit, of anything major then or no?
No, I haven't gotten anything on 2012, and I mean I'm certain that if something was going to happen to where it'd be the end of the world or whatever, then I'm sure that I would kind of be informed since mm-hmm. I'd still kind of be young at 2012. So
yeah, same here.
I hope I'm gonna be fairly young.
I mean that's the one thing, but I mean the problem is people get so wound up by these. Prophecies and these dates that kind of were, set forth, and then so it kind of consumes people, and so they start sending out those thoughts to the universe, that something bad is going to happen, and then all of a sudden, you start getting like a 9/11 attack, is because people are sending out all these negative thoughts. And really, that's what is that's what powers hatred is negative thinking.
Mm.
When I went to therapy for my adoption, the therapist used to call any negative thought. They used to say it was stinking thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So I kind of like that phrase because it when you start surrounding yourself in that type of things, then obviously your life around you is going to start to stink, and because you're going to be infusing your own life with, negative things, and you're never going to feel like you're going to be able to accomplish anything because you're constantly saying, I need this, I need this, but, you're not doing it out of the sheer need and desire to, to have it. As a way to live or whatever. Like a lot of people are very material.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like everything it has to be like they judge their success by what type of car they drive, what type of house they live in, how much money they have in the bank if they have more than one bank account.
Mm.
Like it's crazy the way that society is so money hungry and materialistic, but here's the thing: anything that you obtain in this life, you cannot take to the other side. So, I mean, even your human shell doesn't go with you to the other side. So, none of those material things, or none of your money, none of your bank accounts, is going to matter when you're on the other side. Unless you're doing it to secure a future for your family or something like that, but then you're not going to be so materialistic, and I think it's sad when, celebrities, their all their lives are like tossed inside out, and I mean, they can't even have babies without being under such scrutiny, I mean, they could trip and fall and it's like headline news.
Yeah.
But like, people trip and fall every day, but that's the thing that people need to start realizing is that celebrities are people as well, and so they shouldn't really be kind of put on this like such a high pedestal that they can't even have like their own personal or private life. I mean, like with James Van Praagh, now for some reason you never hear anything about his personal life. You never hear anything about Sylvia Brown's personal life. Like, you never open up a tabloid and see, Sylvia you know, whatever happened to Sylvia. Nobody really cares about, maybe that's why I like this profession, is because no matter how huge I get, there's never going to be any backlash, you know, to, you know, as far as the media goes. But also, so as a celebrity and as somebody that's looked up to, people need to realize that you are going to be put under such scrutiny because that's just the way the media is.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you kind of have to expect these things. And maybe psychics have, you know, the advantage over that subject as far as expecting things. But
well, I'm pretty sure you have that advantage over paranormal talk show radio hosts.
Yes, definitely.
I'm very sure you do.
We have less than a minute left. What's next for William Constantine? You're doing the
What's
book,
next?
For example. You read the website.
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing a book. I have a couple of top literary agents that are interested, but, you know, it's just right now, and what they're saying is that the market is so saturated that I should wait a little while. So I said, okay, I'll wait until I'm done writing the book, and then I'll, you know, contact you guys again. So, but it's also good, like I said, it's going to be a different version of a medium book. You know, it's not going to be what it's like growing up to being a medium, because those are out there. It's been done time and time and time again, and continues to be done by some psychics. So, you're going to see a book. I have two psychic cruises coming up. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the background. I'll definitely be out there. So
excellent. And all of this, of course, is available at your website at www.williamconstantine.com.
Absolutely.
William, hang on the line for 1 second. We're going to close the show out. We'd like to talk to you after, if you don't mind.
Yes,
okay.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You, William.
Thank you, William. Thank you so much.
And of course,
thanks for having me.
Thank you. And, of course, before that, we were speaking with Dr. Ron Milioni.
Our man, Dr. Ron.
Thanks a bunch. We'll get Scott Innes, the voice of Scooby-Doo, and
he'll be
Shaggy
coming on soon,
Scrappy-Doo.
I promise.
We'll get him as soon as possible. A little snafu with the scheduling.
Oh, yeah, that's all it is.
The telephones. With that, I have to say, we will be back in your iPods and on your internet and on your car radios, and we'll be back
in your
next
head.
Week.
We're going to be in your head,
special show Tuesday night.
Special show this Tuesday with Dr. Stephen Rourke. We're going to finish what we started last week. I've been getting some really great mail, whether it's positive or negative, and we need to talk more about this.
And
we're doing that
this
Tuesday, 7 p.m. Be here.
So upcoming this Tuesday at 7, and then, of course, on Sunday, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, thank you for listening, and this has been Ghostly Talk.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Listen to now.
Media, become the media.